Nice.
Yeah, I put something up there for you.
I thought. I said, buddy, you got something on the floor. And I'm driving in, so I'm trying to look. It's nice.
All right, where do we stop and where do we begin? We start at 22.
Did y'all do it last week? Did you? Because we chose the last week start.
So we started on 18-1. We were farther than that.
All right, then y'all went for it. We were supposed to do it.
Yeah,
we were here for that.
And where are you at now?
I think we're either on starting on 21. Yeah, I think 21.
All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
My turn. Did you want me to read?
Yeah, do it. Thank you. Well, Father, thank you for this gathering today, and Father, thank you for what you're going to do in this class. Father, just give us ears to hear and right words to say. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So we're doing, starting at Matthew 18, verse 21. How far you want me to go? Just start reading, you can tell me where to stop. Do you have a place?
Start at 20.
All right. So we're going to start at 18. Matthew 18, verse 20. For wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers, into my name, there I am in the midst of them. And then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me, and I forgive him and let it go? As many as up to seven times? And Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. And when he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably about 10 million. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And his master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20, caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. So his fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you all. But he was unwilling, and he went out.
Let's stop there when you get done.
All right. But he was unwilling, and he went out and had him put in prison till he could pay the debt. Stop there. You don't want to finish me. Mm-hmm.
Remember when I had the debtor's prisons?
Pardon?
Remember when I had debtor's prisons?
No.
You don't remember that? Back in the 1800s, if you couldn't pay your debt, you went to jail.
I never heard that.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. And I think that goes all the way back to this. But I think, you know, what about, you know, the heading of this says, the parable of the unforgiving debtor, you know? Isn't in the world we live today a lot like that?
Yeah.
Everybody is on you like crazy. and yet they still want to give you more money. You know what I mean? How many times a week do you get something in the mail and say, "Oh, you get your, you know, you get this and you get that, and you can have this and you can have that," and nobody thinks about what the consequences are.
Yeah,
but it's keeping you bound. Keeping you bound and in debt.
Yeah, and that's true.
Debt to them.
It's true. I read a thing last night on my thing here. It said, it compared the 50, I don't know if it was the 50s or the 60s, with the way life is. And it started out, dad worked full time. Today, dad works full time, mom works full time. Mom didn't work back then, stay at home mom. Mm-hmm. They have one car, got two cars and owe $60,000 on two cars, you know. And, I mean, and when I read it, I'm looking at it and I'm going, what is the insanity of this? You know? I mean,
and then she has to work because they owe more than what they can really pay.
Right. And yet, when they can't pay, what's the consequences?
They come and get the cars.
Kathy and I say that all the time when we go by these new subdivisions, and they all want $400,000 and $500,000 for these houses. And they say, who in the heck has got this money to do that? And, you know, and it goes back to what I was just saying. If somebody stubs their toe or something happens, it's all gone.
Yeah.
And it's all gone in an instant.
Really?
And back in those days, you know, back in biblical days, it wasn't that you lost everything. You might lose your life. You know?
And when they locked them up anyway, how are you going to get the money? I mean, if they were working, they can pay it back. But if you're locked, they take all your possessions.
But this is, you know, well, I think what Jesus is saying here is, you know, have a little compassion. And I think that goes a long way. And I don't think there's a whole lot of compassion in today's world.
No mercy. No mercy.
No mercy, yeah. Isn't that true? Isn't that very true?
Because that's what he really received, was forgiveness. But it was mercy that was given.
Yeah, and at the end, you know, after the other guy, he went after the guy that owed him money. He had no, you know, he didn't have any mercy on the guy either. You know, you learn from what you see.
But look how much he was forgiven.
Yeah.
And then this one owed just
pennies.
Mm-hmm.
$10 million compared to $20?
Well, you know, it's...
He's shown us how forgiving we should be. Gracious and merciful, because that's how he is with us.
Well, that's right, and that's the way he is with us. You know, he forgave all our sins, and he gave it all up so we could be who we are. And we don't want to, I think a lot of people, even in the Christian church, really don't want to even talk about that.
Oh, forgiveness?
Yeah.
No, because they feel like if something's been done, well, like he said, turn the other cheek, and if something's been done, the first thing they want to do is, you know, people want to get even.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the...
Well, we've all heard the old joke, go by a Christian church when church lets out and see who's... You know, they're going to cut the other guy off and get out.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta be first, you know? And everybody's gonna do, everybody's doing that, and it's just...
So unchristlike, so lacking. And he wants us, when he was talking about us gathering together in him, I like where it said up here too, where he said that, how we should be two or three gathered together as my followers in, and then he said, into my name. You know, not just gathering together, but purposefully in him and into his name, which is his character. What is he? Loving, forgiving, merciful, gracious. Yes, he is. This is what he is wanting of us to desire. We can't do it in ourselves, but only in him, like he said, in me, into his name. So then he made the example of this guy. How many times should I forgive him? Really, endlessly. Really.
70 times 7 is not a number. It's, you know, the number is infinite.
Yeah.
But people live in the past. They don't, you know, they can't get over things that have happened in the past. They hold regrets and all that kind of
grudges.
I know.
And what do they do with the scripture where he says, as you forgive, you're forgiven as you forgive. And we come before Christ. You know, when they said he can come like before the altar. And if you have an altar, have something against, take care of that before you come there to ask for your need to be met or to be forgiven.
And that's right, that's what we should be doing, for sure.
We want to look at what was done unto us.
A lot of times
we have a right to feel this begrudge then or to, we know.
I wish I could say I could do that. I have a couple that I haven't. I haven't.
So got. You know what God's wanting. You know what?
But you know, that's part of our journey.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And what I'm going to speak about today as part of this, going to go with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm 78, I'll be 79 years old in a couple of weeks. And I've come to the realization that I'm still on the journey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Not as I've become perfected.
I might not think about it all the time, but I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if we're really working at it and really believe in what we read and what we know, what we've been taught, you come to the realization, you'll remember all the things that you were gone through that God has forgiven, mm-hmm. or he's gotten you through a situation that you never thought you'd get through.
Mm-hmm.
In giving you the ability to make right decisions.
Yeah.
And
you know, it's funny you talking about, you know, how old you are and you're still on a journey. Go back in the Bible and they tell you about men being like in their 150, 200 years old. So consider that. Look at yourself, you're still a babe. You're still a babe.
Still learning.
Wow, wow, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I wrote it down here.
Oh, while you're looking, don't you see the experiences and the situations we've been, how's been so shaping us? Mm-hmm. We have learned in these places. We have seen how only He can develop us, and Christ really be developed, you know, in us to be like Him. So He brings certain situations and things for us to learn, really. When we look at it and see the choices we make and how we handle things.
Yep. This struck me, and I don't know if we read just a couple weeks ago, but it's, if you go to Matthew 20, 18 and 19.
Matthew 20, oh, you mean the chapter 20?
Yeah, chapter 20, 18 and 19.
All right.
It says, we're going to Jerusalem, and the son of Mary will be man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised to life. When I heard that, my thought was, what were these guys thinking when he told them that? What were the disciples thinking when he told them?
Evidently, they wasn't believing it. You know, because Peter tried to tell him, oh, no, Lord, you know. I mean, he said, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Because it was against the very will of God and His purpose.
Weren't they sad when they heard that, though?
But what the next thought came to me was, they didn't hear the whole story. They didn't look, they only heard that they're gonna kill him. They never heard that on the third day he'll come back.
I thought they said that they became sad when they heard that, what he was talking.
They did become sad, and
Peter was not.
And if you go up to Luke, I got it all written down here because it's all going to be in my thing. Luke 18, 31 through 34, it says, He took the 12 apostles aside and told them, we're going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They'll mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him, and on the third day he'll rise again. And then it said, the disciples did not understand any of this. His meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Now, he'd already told them once in Luke, or in Matthew, and there's also a verse in Mark where he tells them again, and now he's telling them a third time, and they still don't get to the end game, that he's coming back. And now, that leads to other things, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything that they thought and believed in, it was so real to them when he was standing right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now the thought that he's gonna be gone, none of this is real.
Mm-hmm.
At least, that's just my interpretation of things, you know, what they might be thinking.
Almost, what, 3 years?
Yeah, you know, that's my...
Can you imagine all the miracles that they really had thought day in and day out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what you're reading here is just...
Oh, my goodness.
A smattering of what went on. You know, I mean, I like I said, it's just my interpretation is, were they really totally in touch with what was going on? I don't know.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I think, you know, you can relate that back to the where we started reading today. Did the guy who owed the money, or the guy who was owed the money, did he get the reality of what's going on? You know, what Jesus had been trying to teach the people as he went along. Mm-hmm. Have some compassion, don't worry about it, it's under control. And it's amazing how it all ties together. I mean, I see it differently now than I have in a while, mm-hmm. because I look at it from a perspective of not 2,000 years ago. I look at it as a perspective of today.
Today, present.
You know, and I think that's what I think God wants us to live in the present.
Oh, yes.
He doesn't want us living in the past. And he doesn't want us to look at examples like this guy. He wants us to look at the examples of the people who are doing what has been taught. And there are a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot more than people think.
Yeah.
Well, it all goes back to the farmer plowing his field. You can't look back when you're plowing the field because there's always lots of stuff in the
It's all over but the shouting, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. There's always, if you're looking back, you can't see maybe there's a rock. Where you're plowing, I mean, you either got to go around it or stop, take that out of the way. You know, pray to God that you can get it out of the way and then go forward.
And keep the furrow straight.
Keep the furrow straight and keep your equipment not broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's true. That's true.
Well, you constantly pray that, you know, God will guide you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
What would Jesus do? That's what should be in your heart. What would Jesus do in this situation?
Yeah.
Well, should we go on a little further?
All righty. Where am I at?
31.
Where did I go? 30, where was
31.
I? 31?
31 is
31.
We stopped at 30, so.
Yeah, 31.
Let me see, 18.
When his fellow attendants saw that what had happened, they were greatly distressed and...
Where are you reading?
31 and 32.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just read it down to the end.
Oh, all right. Are you reading? Are you
reading?
Go ahead. So I stopped at...
Stopped at 30.
But he was unwilling, and he went out and had him put in prison till he could pay the debt. When his fellow attendants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then his master called and said to him, "You contemptible wicked attendant. I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, till he could pay all that he owed. So also, my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. Yes, certainly a requirement of us.
Mm-hmm. I don't have the word torturers in
yes.
my Yes. Now think about that.
So he was not to be just jailed, but tortured.
What do you think that's going to, yeah. That'll give you an eye opener. That'll wake you up. Bring him out here and give him a few swats on the back and mm-hmm. see how he likes that one.
Yep.
And into the last verse, I think, is very adamant. This is, I think this is exactly where, what the whole parable was about. Is he's very adamant how you treat your fellow man.
Yeah.
It's not, he doesn't make a distinction. And I think there's a lot of times in today's world, people do make a distinction. Mm-hmm. Somebody's different than the other, you know? It's
mm-hmm. No, because God, it says that God's no respecter of persons. And like as it says, the sun shines on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm.
And he's requiring of us. That's all there is. He really is. And our example is him.
You know, when they talk about debt here, they're talking about money. Mm-hmm. But what about another kind of debt that doesn't include money? Gratitude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the first word that came to my mind, anyhow.
Gratitude, yeah.
You know, how many times have we heard the debt of gratitude for all the people, what you've done? You know, I want to give my payoff that, I mean, we owe so much to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And he came to serve, so he expects us to serve. To be servant of all, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we owe him all of it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I wake up every day now and I go, thank you, Lord, for another day. And I go, and I just think to myself, how did I get this far? How did I get to be 78 years old?
can't believe it. Me and my friend talk about it. It's just that I lay there and I was saying, I can't compute. Because she said, Brenda, me and, she was saying, her and Vicky, this is another Christian friend. She said, we were thinking, are you 84? Yeah, I said, I'm 85. She said, I told Vicky you were 85. And she said, I said, it doesn't compute. I don't feel like it in mentally. You know,
yeah,
that,
right.
Where it isn't. And as I talk and speak,
right,
unbelievable.
And that's the truth.
It's unbelievable.
It is absolutely the truth, isn't it, Brenda? You wake up and I go, and my brother and I have actually had a conversation. He and I have both outlived every member of my family. Outlived my grandparents, outlived my parents.
That's what she has, my friend has.
We've outlived yeah. every one of them. And I go, That's amazing.
It is. It really is.
He just turned 86, and I'll, no, 85.
Oh, he's my age.
And then,
yeah.
You know, and Cass said to me this morning, you know, next year you'll be 80. And I went, oh, yeah.
I've never complained anymore, because when I turned 50, my mother called me up to wish me happy birthday, and I started crying. She said, I'm a half a century, and I was just, you know, looking at half a century and crying. She told me, I'll be ashamed. She said, you better thank God for every day that he has given you. She just shamed me, and after that I said, I don't care which year as they accumulate.
Yeah, I said,
be thankful.
Gotta
be thankful.
When I turned 50, it was no big deal. When I turned 60, it was no big deal.
Yeah,
when I turned 70,
I don't know why. 50
when I turned 70, I went, holy moly.
Oh, 50. All the ones after that didn't, because I could hear my mother saying, you better thank God for every day that he's given you. And that's how, you know, she felt. And she died at 81.
But
my dad died at 62, heart attack, massive heart attack.
Yeah, that's about the time my dad died.
62, heart attack. And they were thinking about retiring. They said, we were talking about thinking about retiring. And
but
I it, just,
you know, it's how you live your life. You know, I know for me, I'm really active.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I know you guys are active.
Yeah, you know, in a wheelchair, you're not. Then I've looked at friends of ours, you know, that's had other health problems. And my friend, she just had they didn't think she was going, she had a hip replacement. And she has all of these other medical problems. And she was high risk. And the surgeon did not, he was surprised she came through as she did. He mm-hmm. said it. He said he agreed to do this. First, he wouldn't agree. He said all your other doctors are going to sign off on it. Right. And they did. But she was high risk.
Well, that, you know, and it's because I think the three of us, we exercise our mind, we exercise our body, we take care of what we need to do. You know,
and love the Lord.
And love the Lord. And thank him for, and have gratitude for what we have.
That's the greatest thing.
You know? And I don't think that you can do any more of that.
I always think about, I even went back and listened to it again when Mark said how he wakes up and he said, and I choose joy. And I've told my friend that, and it is. You have choices there. And first thing like you were talking about, I thank God for this day that God's given you another day. And you have to have really that mental attitude, because your attitude really shows where your altitude is going to be. And if you're in the Molly Grubs all the time and looking at all the problems.
What's that saying? Your attitude determines your altitude.
It does. It does.
Because I play golf on Thursdays with two guys. One is 86, the other one's 89. The guy that's 86 is kind of bent over, but you would never know it. And the guy that's 89, he's about 6'1", and he shot 78 last week. And he had four birdies. He won all the money. But when I first played with him, I asked him, I said, well, how the heck do you do? He says, oh, I stay active. He said, I had to quit and not be able to play golf early this year because I cracked a bone in my wrist. I said, how did you do that? He said, I play pickleball 2 days a week.
Not yet.
Keep the blood flowing. That's
sure is. Sure is. Oh, yes.
But you know, it
stand upright.
God gave us this life, and He expects us to take care of it. And I truly believe that.
We're housing Him.
And when you hear me speak today, you'll know why I'm saying
yes,
that.
We are housing. We're the temple. We're housing Him. This is it. Oh God, yes.
Well, it's 10 till.
So we can get ready to.
Yeah. You want to
so
pray?
We're ending at. Where's 18?
We'll start.
Starting at 19.
All righty then. I'll put this here. Oh, and thank you for doing the sign, too. I said, oh, look, buddy. When we drove up, he did the sign that. Yes, and I think because God is here and we are here. And yes, I said, I knew he'd pray about it. And he'd put up there, but God would have him put up there, and you did.
Yeah, you're right. You say a prayer?
Yes. Father, we are so thankful to gather together in you and into you, Lord. And we thank you for the fellowship that we have, for sharing you with one another. We ask you to continue, Father, in your process of perfecting us and making us like unto you. And in those places where we find it hard, Father, we're asking you to give us the will to love and to do as you would have us to do. And Father, as we go forth, may you bless the service that we're going to. Bless Mike as he brings forth the words you have given him. Give us hearts to receive, O God, and a spirit of obedience, O Father. We thank you and we give you praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.